You put it back, do not destroy, you know.
Yes.
Okay, call the meeting to order for today's date, April 9th of the Airport Committee. Do I hear approval of minutes for the 12th of March? They were sent out by Peggy on the...
There's also a hard copy circulating.
Well, the problem is you've only got one...
There's everybody
two.
Here.
The last year.
Nobody was there. Nobody was, I wasn't there.
I wasn't here.
So Mark and Doug are going to have to make the motion.
I'll approve the minutes.
And
oh, Doug, okay.
Do I hear a second?
Mark. Second.
Okay, approved. Okay. Reporting airport operations, Lance.
There's not a whole lot more to report other than what I kind of went over the last time. Nothing real. Biggest changed, just waiting on final decisions of projects and I guess, well, our Melissa is our lady that is helping us now. She works here in the engineering department, and Ted Jones is really busy with other stuff, so she is helping us with all our AIP stuff. So it's kind of good for me and her because now we're learning together. So.
Yes.
So that's really the only new thing right now that I have to report is that Melissa's helping with the AIPs from the engineering project.
Okay, shall we skip Terry then, go directly to you, Melissa, for any projects?
Okay, so we have the smaller project. We emailed the contractor to get a construction schedule for him because they have to be finished by July 1st.
What project were you referring to?
That's runway 220
the overlay?
Signs and
no, this would be A19 that she's talking about. The.
Do you want me to talk about them in AIs and Ps instead of?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I just want to know what project
you're talking about.
AIP
18 and 19 is the small one, right. And that's the one, the signs and the markings.
Okay.
And we have a contractor on board, and they pulled off for winter, and now that it's getting close to
not
spring,
winter.
Summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, considering the last couple of days of rain. But so we sent an email to them to get a construction schedule from them, and I've not heard back yet, but I expect something by the end of the week. Also, for the ARF truck, we are starting to, we have an engineer almost on board. The fee schedule and scope of work is with Kevin at FAA for his approval. They have a copy of our contract, and their legal is going through it, so if Kevin approves it, we should be good to get them on board. They have already started work on the ARF truck, and Rob Murphy has, yes?
Can I ask a question? I thought that there was money for a new truck to replace the old one. Now you're talking about doing work on the truck, and I'm not familiar with what that's all about.
Purchasing the truck. They're doing work on the contract to purchase the truck.
A new truck.
So this
it's
is
a new truck.
New
truck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
We do not have a grant for the new truck yet. We had to get a scope of work, and we had to get an engineer on board before we could apply for the grant. The engineer will actually apply for the grant for us. They WH Pacific has worked with the Kevin at FAA before, so they know each other. They have also worked with on various other airport projects, so they're familiar with the requirements for an Index A ARF truck. But right now, we're just in the paperwork to get them on board. We did it informally. We didn't go out for a formal RFQ because of the time frame, but we did check with two other engineering agencies, and they were willing to help us, but they had never purchased an ARF truck before. They were going to call neighboring communities who had purchased an ARF truck. WHP Pacific has done it before, so we just went with them. So hopefully, and Kevin doesn't seem to have a problem with that, so we're good to go there.
Does the grant money pay for the engineering for an RFP?
It would have paid for it either way, but if we had gone out for a formal RFP, we would not have met the grant deadline. Because this is a discretionary grant, it's different than the other grants that we have, and so it's not guaranteed that we will have funding. So the fastest we can get it in, it's the better for us. He didn't say it's a first-come, first-served basis, but he goes, the fastest you get it in, the better.
Right.
So
I
took that to be literal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're by doing it informally, we saved about 3 weeks, and we were able to get somebody who knows what he's doing. Kevin knows who they are. is comfortable with them, and we'll get that on board. They have the preliminary. Rob Murphy sent over what kind of truck he wants. He wanted something a little bit bigger for the future, but unfortunately the bay didn't fit the truck, or the truck didn't fit the bay, depending upon how you want to look at it. So we scaled back to what we need as an Index A, rather than going for the dream. I got a list of equipment they want to put on the truck today, so all of that will go to WHP as soon as Kevin gets the approval. We needed to have a DBE plan in place and accepted by FAA before we could consider or continue payment, and people like to be paid if they're doing work. And so yesterday we got a letter from Ricky at FAA, so we do have an approved DBE plan. So we are once again, I'm waiting for my Delphi information acceptance letter from, I'm not sure who, before we start that, but then that'll be going pretty well. I did create a little spreadsheet to keep track of all of the grants and the requirements, the splits and everything. So I've organized that just to kind of help me figure out what needs to go where. We do have $31,000 on the AIP 20 and 21 grants that we can use to get reimbursed from Connect for Oregon grant. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be start pulling off of that one as well. The 1634 project is, the engineers are working on the new scope of work for the design and construction phase. They are supposed to have that and a fee scheduled to me by the end of this week, the 12th. It will probably have to go out for an independent cost assessment. That'll take about 2 weeks, and then it'll go to FAA for approval. We do not have all the money we need to cover that particular project. However, Kevin and I have talked, and he is recognizing that we will need AIP 22 in order to get more funding to finish out the project. And currently, that's looking at about $2.6 million on AIP 22.
What's 21 worth now?
21 is worth 6.3, and whatever we don't use on 21, if we need to go for 22, we'll roll over, as I understand it. We are still planning to be in construction, but we need to have bids openings in June. So if we have bid openings in June, construction should start in July. I don't know if it'll start July 1st or not, but it should start in July.
Well, I thought last time somebody was talking about maybe pushing it off till next year.
There was that conversation. Kevin is not thrilled with that idea. I think the sequester kind of makes people nervous. If you don't need,
if you don't need the money, then why do you need the money?
Yeah. So he's going, if we can do it this year, let's do it this year.
Do the airway facilities people come through and get their engineering done?
I don't know how to answer that. There has been a problem in defining some of the things that they want.
They have gone through and finished their surveying, and they've gone back to the engineering, whether they finished or not, we don't know.
They got a Precision Approach gave them some slope information today to add to the surveying stuff that they have already. So they have gotten some updated information. They just got it this morning, though. I haven't seen anything from them. I keep hearing that their $750,000 invoice is coming any day, but I haven't seen it yet. I've prepared our accounting people for it, so they know it's coming.
Good, it's a lot of money.
They were thrilled. But
it's a reimbursable.
But as
so
long as
they pay it, and then it gets reimbursed back to us.
Right.
Yeah, as long as Delphi is up and running, it should just be a few days before we're reimbursed at 90%. But nonetheless, David Marshall's heart did kind of go.
I asked the question because, as I understood it from before, that the AF people were the ones holding up the parade.
They sounded like it last time.
They do. The whole thing with records and as-built documents, this was causing quite a bit of problems. And I went up and met with Terry Kessler and Jeff last week, and introduced myself and talked to them and met them and kind of talked through it, and they mentioned that very same thing. I haven't heard how the battle is. I did ask them to please CC me on their conversations so that if there was any way I could help move it along, I would know about it. They seem to, they heaved a sigh of relief. I'm not sure what that meant. But as for whether or not that's been reconciled, I don't know. But they aren't sending me any flags. And so I'm letting it go just for now until somebody says, wait a minute, this isn't working.
So how much do you think they'd be able to achieve this year in terms of construction?
Well, from what I understand, once they start, they need to finish.
Yeah. All of it.
So
right.
The whole thing.
All of it. All of it.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, it's not a there. It's not a halfway thing because they, because with the reprofiling of the runway, you can't like do half.
No.
So once we have, so what we have to do is just kind of really hope
the right
for good
half.
Weather.
The right.
Half.
Yeah, the weather. So have you guys, from an operational standpoint, determined how we're going to keep the airport running? Well, this overlay project.
Yeah, we've actually had some practice at it. During the late summer last year when they were doing the engineering, they were doing the core sampling, Lance and I became very, very operational at getting the runways opened and closed in a timely manner. We can get X's deployed in a matter of minutes. So right now...
With the X-band.
Yeah, right now we're working with these guys. Lance can fill you in a little more. He's more in tune on the operations, but we became very good at opening and closing runways in a matter of 15 and 20 minutes at a time. So right now, as best that we can tell, we are going to open and close the airport every day. There will be a functioning runway opening and closing every day at the airport. That's our goal. So we.
And then the State Ave Department obviously will have to be notified for all the NOTAMs to make sure the NOTAMs are
and
up to date. And
we're now, both of us and Chuck are all e-NOTAM certified.
Oh, good.
So our whole NOTAM system has changed out there at the airport now. In the event of an emergency, like the other day, I couldn't get a hold of anybody on the phone, and I had to go back to the old-fashioned way called a flight service station and issue a NOTAM. Over the voice, but everybody has been through training, including Chuck, and we are all authorized to issue e-NOTAMs, and it's been working really well for us.
Is there a logbook?
Yes.
NOTAM logbook. So
yep.
Once you guys enter the NOTAMs, do you actually go on a radio to make sure they've been, they're up and running?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
That's up to the pilots. They're not on the radio. It's through the flight service station.
Well, you get your flight plan. That's what I'm saying. What is the link to make sure that those guys have those and that it's up and running?
A matter of
confirmation.
We get a confirmation.
We get a email confirmation.
The FAA.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't. The only ones we have to put in the logbooks are the ones that we physically have to call in. All the rest of it is stored in the history through the FAA run website. So they'll look through that when the inspection is going to come. So
is it not possible to put on the ASOS?
Well, I was going to ask them. I've heard NOTAMs on ASOS.
Well, I know, like at the bigger fields when they've got somebody actually recording it, I've seen it, but not.
Yes, we've actually been through training from the AWOS people, Lance and I have. We, during those runway closures, because a pilot flying in is just getting weather. He doesn't know that there's a big X.
He can be 20 miles out.
We have been trained, both of us, to go into the AWOS building and actually add a recording, add a remark, and we are authorized by the FAA to do that. But, we're trying to think of anything that we may need to do, and that's a good question. And
you have to go out there to do it. You can't do it.
Yes, sir. We have to go into the FedEx. The brains, the actual main computer storage of that AWOS is in the FedEx building. So we go in there in the morning time when we knew that we had a runway closure, and we would add that into remarks at the end of the recording because you're right. Just when you're coming in, I mean, that AWOS is the last thing you're listening to touching down. So as a pilot myself, I just thought, hey, you're next thing you're coming into the pattern and there's X's on the runway, and so we thought it's a good idea. We did speak with the FAA and get basically authorization and say yes, you can add remarks.
We assume that night operations will be not available for some period of time.
Lance can answer that question. There's some things as far as what we're going to do. If we're going to close it at nighttime, we have to light the X's. Lance has got himself up to speed on that. He can answer that.
That would all be done by the construction construction company for AIP-20, right. But yes, the exits have to be lit at night. Mm-hmm. We would then have to do night inspections as well to make sure that the runway that is open, which would be 220, which is a VFR runway, that there's nothing that has blown onto it, mm-hmm. And all the lights are working properly, and that would be a nightly inspection that would have to be done.
Is there a VASI on 220?
Nope.
Nope. Don't think so. Okay.
Nope. So, all visual.
Yeah. Right. Any other questions of Melissa?
Thanks for taking it on. It's important that we have somebody that's spearheading this. And I don't know if anybody else would like some, to see grant reports or what's being updated. As far as the financing and the money and where it's going, how it's shuffling, how the programs are doing, the updates, it's really, it's a big deal to have this 3416 project going on. It's going to be a big deal. And I'm glad that you're taking us aboard. Appreciate it.
I have one other question, and maybe I don't know who's in charge, but now, but maybe you guys are, for next year's Connect, maybe five? Yeah. Or any other grants that come up, I guess since you're looking like you're doing a whatever that is for the continuation of this project for 1634, you got in line for another grant. A lot of times you have to ask for those. These guys appear to be on the person you're hiring does that, or how do you guys know when the grants are available? That's what I'm getting at.
I'm not sure if you're talking about new grants. The person that we're working with, Kevin, he kind of. He's monitoring AIP-22 because he knows we don't have enough money to complete the project.
Okay.
So he's monitoring how much we're going to need to finish it out. As for other grants for other projects, I'm not sure. I don't know that. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, I was just thinking, the FAA they expect everybody to know a lot of times. And I know that, I don't know how often you guys get up to see people in McMinnville or Seattle, but that's where we got most of our money.
Once a month, we've been trying to
make contacts up there. That's how we got the real lights. We had somebody, if you're up there asking, be wandering around, you have a plan, all of a sudden you get the funds and nobody else does. That's
right.
How it works.
Well, the plan after this, and it's already set forth in the plan after this project is completed, is to do the CIP project, which is your five-year update. You cannot ask for any granting unless that project has been completed.
Right.
So once we get that completed, then we put out, all of the information that we have. And most grants are always at the beginning of the year for your grant application for the next year. I know that for this year coming up, the grant applications all have to be finished before April. But seeing how we're already in the developing of several things going on, we don't need to take on any more grants, and we can't until the CIP five. Or the CIP project is completed, which has to be done right after the runway 1634 is done. So once that is done, we're going to be working with a new consulting firm, maybe, or still with Precision Approach. We don't know yet because we have to send out a RFQ, because every 5 years you have to send out a RFQ for a new engineering firm, and they all get to compete. It's really fun and exciting. So whoever gets it, then that's the next thing. Is that we'll sit down and go over a five-year project, and once we have that five-year project, it's sent up to the FAA, and they say, all right, we see what you're doing. We're not, this is out of the scope of what we see for your future and whatnot, and it comes back. And then once they sign off on a finalized plan, then we get to start going for grants, saying that this is what they said we need to do. We need to, lengthen Taxiway Alpha. So they signed off on that. So then we start going for grants for Taxiway Alpha, and then it starts going that way, and then we have to go and find money to do matching and stuff like that. But that's really kind of how it goes. So looking forward to the future for any granting for anything that's on the airfield side, we have to get our CIP done next, which is right after this 1-6 closes.
Is our current CIP, are we completed all the projects, or are they, is it still good for another year? How long is it good for?
They're good for 5 years at a time. And no, the current one, we did not complete all of the projects. I think it was a little bit ambitious they had, because they wanted to, when it was written, it was signed off by the FAA, but I think it was a little bit ambitious because they wanted to put a terminal building, and then they wanted a complete taxiway, redoing, and then they wanted all of this other stuff in it. So, I mean, at the rate and the government moves, I think it was a little bit ambitious to try to think that that was all going to be done in 5 years. And the other thing that we have to do is we also have to update our master plan, which is a 20-year outlook. And so they're going to look at from, you know, that year, 20 years out, what you're going to look at. And our 5-year plan is basically going to be exactly what the first 5 years is going to be. And then they have a 10-year, and they have a 15, and then a the 20. And realistically, things change, and they understand that. So they look at you're really only going to be doing from, you know, 15 years out is really kind of overzealous, but they require 20. So that's really kind of what we're going to be looking at in the future. And hopefully, you know, whoever our consultant is, I would like to have you guys start maybe brainstorming some ideas about what really needs to be done or seen, or hey, we need to do this. And then when the consultant comes in, say, hey, would it be possible to do this? Is this out of the realms? And then the consultant can say, well, let's throw it in and see what the FAA signs off on, and then see what they sign off on, and then go from grants.
So well, are you maybe looking at this body for recommendations in the future? Some
right after the runway is done, our consultant is picked. I might have them come down and maybe have them do a presentation, or just say, you know, that this is what we looked at. You know, we think we can get this done for you guys, and see if that's, you know, or if you guys, you know, say, well, we would really like to more so see a full-length taxiway, or you know, runway 20, we would like to see have the safety area expanded or something. You know, whatever they come up with, bring in, have them present that, and say, you know, that, and then have you guys say, well, you know, can we do this, and, you know, have them kind of go through the process with
us. I would take a step further, Jeff, and hope that this body is a huge factor in determining the direction of the airport, because, you know, we're not a policy making, but we're an advisory committee. Mm-hmm. And instead of having them come and say, well, this is what we suggest, we as an airport
already
community might already think, wait a minute, what we want to do is develop the sewer and water so we can develop small business, you know, for a tax revenue or another way. So,
well, see, in the it's all airfield. So developing sewer and water would have to be a different area than what I'm talking about. So they would strictly just look at airfield only.
Well, I think he's like maybe sewer and water on the airfield itself.
Oh, well, maybe that. Sorry, I was right. Tracking with you, but okay, yeah.
Well, it's important for any advisory committee or any engineering firm or consulting firm to say they're working for us. What do you guys see as your 20-year project and development in in your airport? It's not our airport. We're working for you. What would you guys like to see?
Right, and that's why I kind of want to have them come in and see what, because some, you know, the FAA does fund a lot, but when it comes to like terminal development and everything like that, or, you know, there is some field development that they can do, but it, that's where the consulting firm comes in, because they really know those regulations in and out on what they would do, or they'd be able to say, well, you know, if you want to get sewer and water, if you want a pad site put in, you know, call these guys and they'll help you go down that that path.
I have a question in regard to that. If we're talking about a 20-year plan for the airport, obviously there must be a 20-year plan for the town of Newport, because the airport's basically supporting the town, right? Everything that's happening here in Newport is supported by the airport, right? And it's not the town.
I like
Tom.
You're army mayor.
Yeah, but, right. No, but I mean, it's like you can build terminals and international terminals and whatever, and the town of Newport's just stagnating, right? And you waste all the money.
It should be linked.
So there must be a link somewhere. Where is it?
That's a good thing. I think for a link, honestly, for the city of Newport, or the citizens of Newport, I should say, in the airport, would be in how do they get out there to use the airport? What is their benefit?
Yeah, the business plan.
It's all in here, Thomas.
Does the bus stop at the airport, or does the bus fly right on by?
Flies right on by.
Exactly. So what, you know, that might be something to look at. Community getting a link started. It doesn't have to be huge, but something started where people come to see the benefit of the airport. Stop at, instead of the bus flying by, yeah, we have to call for a taxi cab to come up. Instead of having to call, these people are already coming. Mm. What is that? I don't know. We need to figure that out.
That's a whole other...
What I was coming at is something like if the town of Newport somehow is catering to multi-million dollar businesses and people come in and they build big expensive houses on the sea, along the sea and something like that. These people are coming from Nevada or wherever with their jets. Do you have a different requirement for the airport than if it's just stagnating, a few people come in with their little single engine aircraft and things like that? That's where I'm coming in. So there's different requirements depending on how the town of Newport is developing.
So the vision of economic development from the town ought to match that of the airport and reinforce each other. Yeah.
And those of us,
who have developed this and worked on this for, the last 8 years,
right,
are a little frustrated. and that's why we developed this, and this whole plan was approved by the city council. So I'll get you a copy of it.
Yeah.
And when it's my turn.
Are you going to go ahead with your...
Sure. Is it, you ready for me?
Yep.
Okay, I got four things that I'm going to bring up today, and I'll actually go backwards because that's a very good question right there.
That's your chance.
What's going to happen? What are we going to do in the future? One of the things I've did in the last month, you guys missed me last month, I had a granddaughter, one of the things I've done in the last 30 days is go and visit our neighbor FBOs. Mm. And I've been to Corvallis, and went to Eugene and North Bend, and had an appointment today in Salem, but I put that off until next week. And I just started talking to the people and asking them, are you guys making it? Are you not making it? Who's surviving? Who's not surviving? What businesses are doing well?
And what's the business model?
And right, what's their business model? One of the things that I found out, and this is something that you, as the airport committee, you guys can wrestle with this and figure out. It's pretty much the consensus that putting money into pilot activities has not paid off. They're not getting a return. Where they're making their money around the airport nowadays are airport infrastructure, whether it's a development, a industrial park. It's things that are connected to the airport, but not necessarily catering to just pilots.
Okay? Called rent. That's what it's called.
But I can tell you, one of the things that happened is several of the businesses, and this is something that the committee is going to, we're going to ask for your guys' recommendations. We've talked to Ralph a little bit about it. But one of the things that was consistent at each one of the places was some kind of minimum standards that needed to be in place before those businesses would ever even start or even try to open an FBO or something like that. So having minimum standards in place for our airport, again, these are not something that we are coming up with. These are recommendations from the state of Oregon, the Department of Aviation. We'd be more than happy, Lance has been working really hard on getting all this together, but we'd be more than happy to pass that along to you guys. And then as an airport committee, you guys help us with what direction you want Newport to go. But other airports have this in place, and I think it's something that everybody needs to look at and consider.
Terry, before I go there any further, is that you're talking about inside the fence operations?
Yes, sir. Inside the fence.
Did you find though that, and maybe you're going to go over that? That out seems like a lot of places are kind of almost outside the fence, and like in.
Through the fence.
Through the fence, yeah, operations right, yeah. Are really where the money is, but go ahead.
It is, and but in order for some of these businesses to come in here, they wanted to make sure they had a level playing field. And so, right. Again, Newport has struggled with this, and again, I'm just putting the information out there, and then you guys as a committee can say, you know what, quit even looking at that. We're never going to have it. We don't want it, so don't pursue it anymore.
Terry, why don't you get copies of, like, I know the Port of Portland's are online, but take the Port of Portland, Salem, Eugene, or whatever they got, or even some smaller airports so people know what you're talking about. So
okay.
You can read these things and say, this is good or this is bad.
Very good. I agree with you, Rob. We've actually already started. It's almost ready to be presented to you guys, but we didn't have it on the agenda, so it was held off. But we are working on it, and I just wanted to throw it out there that I think everybody needs to be aware of it, that this is something that other airports our community, our neighbor airports have done, and it was key to them moving forward and having some businesses brought in.
In that regard, this North Bend is actually not a good example, right?
North Bend is not a good example.
Everybody is laughing about this. And well, two FBOs.
North Bend, their city made a few decisions that I think just basically cut the airport off, and they imposed some quite large landing fees. Mm-hmm. And doesn't matter. Some of the pilots tried to get out of the landing fees by unloading their entire aircraft while their engines were running. They thought, as long as the engines aren't shut down, I don't owe a landing fee.
It's just a really
fee.
Slow taxi.
The city went after them and found them where their jet landed somewhere across the country and billed them for their landing fees. Yeah. And so
that's just over
the top. That's a little predatory.
Both FBOs were sitting there with empty, and they were praying for a jet to come in, and then they can wrestle each other over. But again, their city made the determination that they wanted these landing fees in, and it really hurt the FBOs.
So what was the good news you found?
Good news is that Eugene and Corvallis both are doing quite well. North Bend is not a good example. One of the things that's happened at Eugene, and I'm not giving up on this, and Allegiant Airlines has come into Eugene. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. Mm-hmm. But basically, the model that Seaport had when they came in here trying to do 3 flights a day, 7 days a week, Allegiant Airlines said that wouldn't even work for them in Eugene with their population. That model was doomed to fail.
Told you so.
Okay, so what they did was they started off with one small airplane, flying 1 day a week.
Where are they flying? The 340?
They were flying, they started really small, and then they moved up into either a King Air or something like that. Now they're flying MD-80s.
So it's an MD-80 to Las Vegas, which is daily, and they actually have a weekly flight to Honolulu.
Well, what's important is,
from Eugene,
number one, they've got $49 flights right now from Eugene to Oakland. $49 to Palm Springs
and Las Vegas.
Right. And wait a minute.
One way.
Listen, they're doing 1 day a week, though. And they are filling that flight to capacity, okay, 1 day a week. They've just now added $49. Eugene to Honolulu, $145.
Right, each way.
One way.
One way. Now, they do get you a sip of water, cost you.
Yeah, every bag, no matter.
A sip of water cost you. If the bag doesn't fit under the seat, they charge you for your carry-ons. I mean, there's ways that they're making some revenue. But
and they're also, they don't do connections. So every one of their flights is sold as an independent one-way leg. If you want to try and string them together, you can, but it's they're not even interlining with themselves.
As far as a model for Newport, this is something that I would like to continue to try to go after, an unsubsidized one-day-a-week flight coming into Newport.
That'd be super.
And I'm not giving up on it. So, and after meeting these other FBOs, I just think it's important that we don't give up on stuff like that. So anyway, I'm just going to keep going.
My bag.
Number two, I brought a sample in. As you guys all know, we've been having some leak problems in the FBO. We've had several professionals come out, give us estimates. I'm still continuing with that. Right now, the consensus from each of the roofers, our metal roof that was installed out there was not installed by roofers, and we're having some leak problems. And I feel like, as an FBO manager, I want to get the roof addressed before we throw any more money into fixing the FBO, which we've done. We've actually gotten some bids in, and that'll be presented here within a week or so once I get the rest of the bids in. So here's some samples.
Can I just make one clarification on
that?
Yes,
sir.
Is that we don't really have bids in. We're getting cost estimates for the budget. It's scheduled
it's a
in
budgetary
the
thing.
Budget right now. Right. It's in there, and if it gets adopted, then we will go out to bids.
Thank
to
you.
Do the rest. So
we're just trying to get an idea of how much money that we would want
to
be done. Okay. They brought me samples. I brought you guys each a sample to look at. These are what they're proposing, a vinyl roof versus a metal roof. Evidently, the metal roofs have a tendency to fail here on the coast. So each one of the roofers have come out and given me their suggestions, and these are 50-year roofs with warranties, and so.
How do you?
What's the underlayment?
Yeah,
that's the other problem.
Super adhesive.
The underlayment at Newport is particle board, and it was
what?
Yes, all the roofing was installed.
Oh my God!
Applied,
well,
so
it's not particle board.
You're saying what to that?
It's strand board.
They didn't put any underlayment on the T hangers. It's just rib on rib.
Yeah.
They just put the metal riff right on the rib. They didn't put anything under it.
Yeah. So right now, each of the roofers have looked at it and said they will not install a roof on our current particle board because it won't hold a nail and it's it needs to be resheet. So our prices that we're getting are to basically get this thing done correctly.
Re-roof it. Yeah.
It. So just want you guys to know. I know
none
it's...
None of them recommended something like architectural shingles?
The architectural shingles were not recommended because the pitch on our roof is not steep enough. And because our pitch is low, we now expose all of our shingles to wind loading. And you're...
Is our pitch, 212?
Our pitch is just not...
So you just have to make the shingles go the other way.
Yeah.
They tried that with a metal roof. It didn't work out.
No, there's no way to do it right.
But I'll fill you guys in as it goes. Some good news, I think, for the airport. As you guys know, we've been trying to do anything we can to bring revenue and anything extra. We've just completed painting the upstairs offices. And Peggy's been helping us with a lease, and it looks like we have a tenant that's going to be moving into the upstairs office. It's aviation related. It's going to be some aircraft brokering, sales, and that type of stuff right now, as far as I see it. But I think it's good news for the airport because we're just trying to grow the place, and we're getting another business in out there that's going to attract more aircraft, more people. And
more fuel.
The details are still being worked out, but I just want the airport committee to know that we're moving forward with just trying to bring revenue into the airport any way we can. And we had some empty offices, so let's see if we can bring some aviation-related businesses into these offices and bring a little bit of extra revenue into the airport. So been working with Jim and Peggy, and they're helping us get the details worked out, but I'll fill you guys in next month when I get a little more details about it.
I was impressed up at Hillsborough how much training activity there was there. Is there any possibility of them having a satellite campus for their hundreds of students?
We've suggested to them to include us in their flight training.
Yeah.
We are one of the only places you can get some good solid IFR. Ralph will tell you about that. He likes to practice when it gets nice and low. But we've gone out and asked for the business. Mm-hmm. They haven't come back to us yet and said, yes, we'd like to be partners with you. But we've offered them, for example, to get onto the fuel program like our tenants have. Mm-hmm. And if we could save their students a few bucks, hey, maybe it would get them over here. So
what you're thinking though is an off Hillsborough full-time campus with a full-time
they could have one or two instructors and a bunch of students on some kind of a track, you know.
Now, the good news is the
weather here's not that much worse than
the company wants to come in is interested in branching out in anything. But first thing we're going to do is get them in the door, get their foot in the door. I think we've worked out they're only going to potentially start off with like 6 months and then see if the relationship is working with the city, if we approve it, we like what's going on. If we don't like what's going on, then we have a way to opt out of this whole thing. So, but I'd certainly take any input from the committee as far as any help or anything like that. We appreciate it.
Is the name of the party confidential?
No. Only thing is nothing's in writing yet, so I don't feel comfortable giving anything out. Nothing's in stone. Let's wait till it's in stone before we announce anything. In my opinion, you know as much as I do. You're welcome to chime in. So
it doesn't make any difference.
It really doesn't. Just that I want the airport community to know we are moving forward. We're painting, getting the desk moved around. It's just a vacant office, and we're trying to make some money off of it. So we'll see what happens.
He actually wants to rent two offices.
Okay.
The one in the front that faces the airfield, and then the one that's immediately behind it connected.
So, Last thing I have is I was contacted by the marketing director for Shiloh Inn. And Shiloh Inn has some money available to help us. We've talked about putting a hotel board either in the airport itself, lobby, or out in our after-hours facility. One thing that has, we've also been approached by the Caravan Airport Shuttle. About bus right now. Their stop that used to be at Flashbacks has not worked out. And I've requested that we use the Newport Airport as a bus shuttle stop.
That'd be smart.
And again, this is something we'd ask for, you know, basically, is it okay? Is this something you guys want to do? But I thought it was a good idea because it's going to bring people into our airport parking lot area. People are going to see what's going on at the airport. We also have an area where you can get out of the weather that has a working telephone. So I just wanted to run this by the committee. The Shiloh people have shown some interest. I think if we take this to another few of the big hotels, I think we can get the thing funded 100% with zero coming out of the city as far as that goes. So
how would that board be different than the cards that are there now?
The board would be very similar to like what's at PDX and other major airports, where a list of the hotels with a picture, and basically you just push the button and it rings that hotel.
Dials the phone.
It's like a Las Vegas hotel. And it's a good idea. They like it because it's real easy for the customers, and they basically have a choice right there. So they've shown interest, and I said, hey, we love it, and I'll certainly bring it up to the committee and see if we can get some direction on that. But okay. I like the idea.
Are they paying us for this?
No, sir. I didn't have any offer to pay us. The only offer was to pay for the installation and the materials and that type of stuff. So, good question.
I don't think they normally do in those kind of things.
Again, it's very new to me. I'm just trying to take the information and get everything together. And
if you got the shuttle, Terry, would they expect to have parking there? You know, people can leave their cars.
That's the other question that the guy couldn't answer for me, because he's right now the Caravan shuttle owner. He has nothing to say about parking at any of the places.
Anywhere, you figure it out.
They're basically, you're being dropped off at the donut shop. And if the donut shop says, hey, you can park here, but to my knowledge, he doesn't provide parking at any of his drop-off points. It's strictly between the parties and wherever they're parking. Now,
Terry, do you have a policy on how, if you allow this one, other people who might be interested,
Right now, the policy is we don't have a policy. We have a long-term parking. We've put signs up. We try to ask people, if you're going to be here for a long period of time, please take the outside parking areas, leave the stuff up close. So these are details that are all going to have to be worked out. That's all in the planning and preliminary stages. But I just want you guys to know he's shown interest. So if there's questions like that, those are definitely things I need to ask. And anything else that you guys think is important, you know, please either email me or give me a call, and I'll make sure nothing has been done yet. This is just in the talk about stage, but I was excited, and I thought this is a great opportunity to use the little building and get folks at the airport, you know. And a lot of people, like, you know, they just pull up that driveway and they go, wow, I've been here umpteen years, I never knew this existed. So again, I'm going to pursue it if you guys all think it's a good direction. I think it is. So. And that was it. Lease, Airport Committee, Shiloh Inn. And that's it.
Okay, any comments?
Don, I think it's a good idea. You're wondering to generate some funds maybe, but I think the availability of just enticing people to come here probably is room tax funds will generate buzz that way, and a couple dollars we might charge would probably deter people. So,
however,
as long as they pay for their expenses, I'd be concerned about it.
However, Jim's got a point. If this shuttle starts taking off, people will understand the value of a week's free parking. If this thing takes off, and we end up having 30, 40, you know, cars, that, which, who knows?
Well,
I don't think they should be able to park for free.
Well, that's a different concern, but we didn't have that problem with the airlines either. This is a small enough community that people usually drop people off, come pick the car up. Right. I have a neighbor.
Yeah. It's something to be aware of. Sure. All of a sudden, we've got 30 cars out there. And
yeah. Well, that'd be a good problem.
Now you've
got liability
issues and people coming and bringing the car. You know, we do have to, we're going to have to monitor that thing if that thing takes off.
Yeah. I think you have to be
reactive
in that case.
Right.
Yeah. I'd have to be too proactive and kill the idea.
Well, I just appreciate you and Lance. You guys are just taking this airport to heart, man, and it's really a comforting feeling for those of us who have been involved in the airport and love this place passionately, you know, on behalf of the committee. We really appreciate what you guys are doing. And, Mr. Chairman, it might be a little bit late, but I'd like to kind of waver from the agenda a little bit. We have a guest here, and I'd like to know who this guy is. He could be a spy from Germany or something. I have no idea.
I introduced myself to him.
You did? Are you sure?
Maybe not to the recorder.
Not to the recorder.
To the recorder. Okay.
My name is Bond.
My name is...
yeah, right. Yeah.
Good one. My name is Thomas Knott. I'm not living in Newport. I'm living in Seal Rock. I have an aircraft at present parked in Wakanda Beach.
And why is that, Thomas?
I'm voluntarily. Normally I have
with one good wing.
I have a tea hanger at the airport, and basically everybody that's flying and is at the FBO knows me. And I'm very happy to be here, and I enjoy this airport a lot. And I was brainwashed by my neighbor here to be part of this meeting. Good. Now, I've been in my previous life, I've been as an executive vice president for a big car manufacturing company, one of the Fortune 50s, and in China. And I'm sort of semi-retired. I still do some consulting work, and I'm breeding dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to forget that. And I passionately love my aircraft.
Okay. So
that's about it.
Well, we're thrilled that you're here, Thomas, and thank you for
thank you very much.
Taking part of your life out to help the airport and to help the city of Newport. Appreciate it.
I have a question.
Okay.
As far as we're at helping the airport. You're talking about producing revenue. My question is the hangar space that you guys have. How big is the occupancy? Do you have? I know that Steve's aircraft are there, right?
Well, actually, it is. We just signed a month lease with the final opening. I have spots for three aircraft in there, and the final spot was just rented.
Nice.
And so I'm 100% full. In fact, when I took over, several of the hangars were being used as storage areas. Mm-hmm. And I never understood it. And about the time I was given authority by Jim, I emptied those hangars. And we've stored stuff in other areas and cleaned those hangars up, and they are now rented.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically yours.
In our big one is 100% rented. The last space just was rented.
Now, my question for that is, does it make sense to produce more capacity? I mean, build another hangar there somewhere?
Hallelujah. I love you more and more. Yes, it makes great sense to build a bigger hangar, in my opinion, because it is right now. Well, here's a prime example. We had NOAA that came in here.
Yeah.
NOAA operates two Twin Otter aircraft, and we were asking for their business, and we wanted them, since they were basing their ships here, what was the chance of them basing one of their Otters? And sure enough, here it comes to Newport. We were about that far from fitting their aircraft in the hangar, literally 2 inches on each side.
Really? That's a big wingspan.
We could not get their plane in, and I mean, I tried.
Turn it sideways.
I had four people out there, and I mean, I backed the tug in and out. I tried. We tried for over an hour, and it just got to the point where, sorry guys, it's not going to make it. So, yeah, a few inches, we could have based a permanent larger aircraft. The fuel sales would have been tremendous. Yes, I agree with you, and I think a little bit larger stoked. Hangar is definitely something we should look at.
I think that should be in our, when we revise the Newport Airport business plan and the 20-year plan.
Yeah.
That part of the growth and expansion airport clearly needs to be in there and looked at.
But it clearly needs to be linked with the growth of the city of Newport as well.
Exactly. But again, you know, you have to say, okay, we're going to spend $500,000. What kind of revenue is that going to generate over the next 20 years? Yeah. You know, there's a lot to look at.
Yeah.
So,
but I didn't know that it's occupied at all. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's busy. I mean, it could be a sales point if somebody did want to run an FBO in the maintenance space. You've got that space to work on three planes at least at a time, you know, little ones.
Now, all of those things, all of those aircraft that are in that hangar are on a month-to-month basis.
Right.
If somebody big comes in, the city has the right to say, hey, guys,
you got 30 thank days.
You. Thank you. We appreciate your business, but rented this out to a G4. He's going to take the whole hangar.
For $300 a night.
Not if you can't get a Twin Otter in there, you won't get a G4.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but the ends of the wings are...
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, we've tried to... That's basically... Once I get these offices rented, we're going to have to do something because I've got about every space and everything rented that can be rented out there. That's it.
Hangar leases?
Okay, at the last meeting, Mark brought up some potential conflicts with the FAA grant assurances. So what I did was email the FAA, and what I'm distributing now is a template for our box hangar leases. And then also I will distribute a copy of the email from the FAA. The template that I just passed out.
That's the same one you emailed me, right?
I don't know. I think I emailed you a separate one. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I printed it out on that own
paper. Yeah, no, that should be it.
It looks a lot like the one you gave.
It's like the one that you...
What I wanted to say, I'll show you where the differences are. If you look at section 3.6, and I don't have a copy of it, so Jim, do you want one too?
I've seen it.
Okay. So if you look at section 3.6, which is on the second page, it talks about... two additional terms of five-year extensions, and what Joel Briggs from the FAA said is that that language could lead to a lease in perpetuity in conflict with grant assurance number 5, rights and powers, and that may be what you were speaking of,
one of the things,
mm-hmm. at the last meeting. And so this has been revised to reflect the termination at the end so that there can be a clear ending to the lease.
Okay.
And then the other change that she suggested is in paragraph 9.5, and it pertains to the use of the lease premises. And basically, we just added 9.5, which says the hangar cannot be used for temporary or permanent residential use. Mm-hmm. Because she said that both those things might fly in the face of some of our grant assurances. Now, you may have some other things that I don't know about from... that you were talking about at the last meeting, but...
No.
What would be good, I think, is maybe for all of you to take this home, because we've already vetted this through our attorney, with the exception of those two changes that came from the FAA. She didn't really have any changes to the T-hanger lease. It was just this one. And the lease, I mean, her suggestions, in my mind, make complete sense.
Right.
I mean, not only that it helps us out, but they make sense. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, so what's the intent on getting everyone to re-sign that?
Well, a lot of people haven't signed this lease. And so the people who, almost everybody has signed the T-hanger lease. Mm-hmm. So this lease we would just have to send out, and almost everyone knows that we're sending another lease out.
Right. Mine's signed already.
Yeah.
But I'm not a box hanger.
No, he's got a T-hanger.
Yeah.
Well, like Ralph, I can use you for example. So you just recently signed one, so you would send another one out to him and ask him to resign.
Would you do that?
Well, like I say, technically I don't have to.
I know.
Because I would like to live in my hanger.
Who knows?
Well, I mean...
Well, it's clean enough.
I mean, there's only... The only two changes
are
between
those.
What I have... and what's in this one are these...
Just those two clauses, right.
Are the two clauses.
Right.
And actually, 3.6, it's my fault it's in there in the first place.
Okay.
Well, actually, I like it. I like your clause.
I talked to Jim about that, you know, at the time, because it's a sensitive issue to a lot of the tenants, mm-hmm. that they be able to renew their leases indefinitely. The old lease mm-hmm. was actually an in perpetuity lease because it said every 5 years you could renew it.
Without a limit. Yeah.
Without a limit. And I do know that the FAA is sensitive about that because they think you're giving land away on the airport and they don't like that, so they like to limit it. But anyway, so we put this in here and obviously the FAA didn't like it. Now, all I can say is you can go to the grant assurances and read what it says. If you want to argue about it or not, that's up to the committee. As far as the 9.5, you know, I can't imagine anybody can have an issue with that. But anyway, the other than that, that's exactly the same as the one I have. There are some other paragraphs in there you might take issue with, and you know, that, but you guys should, I think, as a committee, make a joint statement to the city saying, we like it this way, we want this change forever, so that then when they send this thing out to everybody, it's got the committee's endorsement, if possible.
I think that would be really helpful because this will be, in some cases, the third time that we've sent the mm-hmm. lease out, and it's changed very little between each version, but you know, one of the things, and I'm glad Mark brought it up at the last meeting, is that we, while we had vetted it through our legal team, we hadn't vetted it through the FAA.
Which, if you guys are going to be looking at it again and making more changes, we would have to resubmit it to Bull. And there could be other issues brought up on either side. So I think right now what you have is a solid document that was signed off on by the legal team and by the FAA, and if we start going through and start making changes and then we send it back out to get revetted, all of a sudden there could be all sorts of other issues that come up with it.
I think we need to adopt this.
It's true. And then the other thing that we did with this lease is that the people who had already signed the lease, like Ralph, for example, and OSU had signed a lease for one of the box hangers that Alan Brown used to have, and then Jim Grassley bought Chappelle's box hanger, and those three folks had signed, not you, but the other two had signed the lease with a higher square footage rate, 27 mm-hmm. cents instead of 22. Mm-hmm. So we fixed that with them so that everybody is consistent on that rate. And then the other thing that happened, and I don't know how the square footage was determined on the box hangers in the past, but what I did was check with the county assessor's office and get the actual square footage off the county documents, because I don't know how else to do it. And in some cases, the square footage didn't match what we had in the past. So we try to tighten it up. So what do you guys think?
Well, could you restate what you mentioned there? This is, like on this 3.6, the gal said that it may cause a problem, is the word may was.
What she said was, here, Jeff, is a copy of it, but you didn't get a copy of the email?
Oh, yeah, but
okay. What she said is the language could lead to a lease in perpetuity and conflict with grant assurance number 5, and that's what we're trying to avoid is grant assurance.
I'm not sure I'd agree with her. Yes, could lead. I mean, it's potential, I suppose. It's called negotiate, so I mean, you can. Obviously, what happens is the lease is terminated. Now, whether you're going to negotiate or not is up to the person, however, 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. So, I don't read this language to read that it must be negotiated. Agrees to negotiate is one thing, but if you actually said it, at least will be negotiated, then that'd be an assurance. So, I look at it as more that way than I would crossing it out completely, because then it doesn't leave you with anything.
So is the red or gray, is that the remedial markup?
It's the, well...
There are 39 grant assurances.
Yeah. Or is that the wording that...
That's the wording
and there's no
that she didn't like.
No, I've crossed out the wording that she didn't like, and I've added...
There's no arguing, there's no negotiating.
There's a...
What it says, the way it's going.
Yeah, I see the strike.
Yeah.
So basically, it's acceptable, that which is not strict through
right.
is acceptable to the FAA.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's fine.
It doesn't say anything the way it's changed. You don't need it in there at all.
That's right.
The bottom line is...
It's just not pretending there is a promise forever.
Exactly. Yeah. And if Joel Briggs says that this is the way it should be, what's the big deal? It's adopted.
Well, it doesn't say, in this case, it doesn't say that... I guess you're reading it here. It doesn't say that it will be terminated.
But I don't understand why she would say that there might be a conflict for grant insurance number five.
Because she's a lawyer. They
the rights and powers. So.
I mean, they can say whatever they want. They don't have to go to court on it. The idea there is...
I guess
the
bottom line, Jeff, is you got to pick and choose your fights.
Well, that's a pretty damn important fight. The idea here is I don't think that you want to have it out there that the city's going to take over the hangars at the end of these leases. That will kill business. No one's going to sign a lease, build a building, nothing. That's the fight.
I think most box hangar leases on any other airport would have that termination clause. I mean, that's what the FAA requires everywhere. So,
well, I think you need to have the end of a lease term, certainly. But the concern is whether or not that at the end of the lease, the city owns the property. That's the problem. Well, that's the big issue.
Toledo's does not have that.
Don't have what?
It's an open-ended. You have the right to renegotiate at the end of the term.
We're also not getting any federal funding there.
There you go.
State-run, so it is getting federal funding, actually.
Yeah. Indirectly, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'll just go out. I'm not in favor of... I mean, this. I think this will maybe be okay the way it is, only because it doesn't say you can't. I haven't read it completely here, but hopefully it does not say that at the end of this lease, the city takes possession of your hangar.
Well,
Jeff, who would, if you have no next of kin and it's on airport property and you can't move it, who would take it over?
You would hopefully find another way to lease it.
Right, and
from the city.
The state, which owns 19 airports around, I mean, we all know that, they own Oak Ridge, and they have run through this same problem where they had a tenant who passed away, nobody knew about it for 3 years, because obviously they weren't
Well, he wasn't looking
about
to
it.
Renew it, though.
But when they found out, they went down and they found there was a plane in it, and there was all this garbage and everything like that. So now, they actually, because of their lease, they have to take over. Yeah, because the down there, the city has regulations that, the structure has to be structurally sound for people to come in and out.
So this one.
Right. So that we're not going to just let your hangar sit up there and rot if nobody's responsible for it. The city would end up having to invest in either tearing it down, just like they do at Oak Ridge. Well, in fact, the state took over that plane down in Oak Ridge.
Well, that's entirely off point here. What I'm getting at is when you have a hangar that is in decent shape, and let's say you're into your leases, you've bought it and you've got 5, 10 more years left, and you want to sell it or you want to get rid of it. The idea is that if there isn't a potential of that future person getting that lease or buying the lease or hangar and potentially renegotiating a lease, then
The new person who would get a brand new lease, and they'd have 10 years.
And we just did that OSU and Alan Brown. We terminated his lease.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't say that. I would hope the city would potentially do a new lease. So far, I don't see that guaranteed here either. So.
Or at the end of the 10 years, if you still had your lease, it says you may renegotiate another term.
What I'm getting at is they've had a situation where a person would have liked to build a hangar out there, and I don't know if this is acceptable or not, but under current terms, he would not build.
He wouldn't be able to build a hangar out there?
He would not build. Depends how you look at it, your investment is worth nothing at the end of the term.
So it's like you're missing the long-term investment portion of the hangar. Security of a long-term...
So if you build a structure for 40 years and you're only promised on paper 10 years with the possibility of renewal, that's a gamble.
Right. And I think that's what
it may be an acceptable gamble, and it is in most places.
Right.
And I don't think the city's going to go and try and revoke it and take over.
We really don't want those hangers.
No.
I don't think you want them.
Jim's not thrilled with that idea.
We have a struggle with one right now because there's a box hanger out there, and we have not been able to communicate with the...
Eventually, it's not going to be shaped like a box.
Yeah.
I'll give you $7,000 for it right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand, you know, what Jeff's concern is from another point.
You can't get a loan on a hangar that only has... unless the city's... We don't know the future, unfortunately. You come in a 10 years down the line, and you need to buy this hangar for $60,000, and you've got so many years left, and then this supposedly there's... a way of negotiating a lease.
Because the lender's going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm lending you this money.
Or even if the guy had cash, for that matter, his $60,000 investment's going to become zero at the end of the term.
But that lender or that new individual that's getting a loan can renegotiate.
No, he doesn't.
It says he could.
Yes.
There's no, it doesn't say he can.
As soon as there's a new person, you have to have a new lease.
Right, because mm-hmm. the lease wouldn't be with...
Would be with
person.
You if you're going to sell it, then you don't have a lease anymore.
So is it the word may?
Well, I guess if in fact that.
See, if I was going to buy your hangar, I would make it conditional on the city granting me a new lease.
Yeah.
So right.
A lot of them you get into where you own multiple hangars in a single group under a single lease. And then they're buying a transfer of a partial lease, mm-hmm. and that gets to be a big mess.
And so how would you relate my concern, though? I guess that's great if the city would continue to re-lease for future tenants and not get tied up with a perpetuity because you're just re-leasing. I don't know how you.
That's not fine.
I don't know how you put that in a lease, though. You can't tie the city up for any future negotiations.
If I was going to buy anybody's hangar out there, I would make them an offer condition, you know, contingent upon being able to get a new lease from the city.
So you're still all at risk.
I'll give you X dollars for your hangar.
It's kind of the nature of leasing is that you really don't own a portion of what you're putting money out for.
Well, in this case, you certainly don't. I mean, you don't own it, but you don't even have a certain point in time. You're
a land tenant.
To put a fixed lease on all the hangars that end at the same time and then have a lease transfer clause in it. And then your value, and that's usually a little bit worse for the investor because your value continuously declines.
Right.
To the reversion.
Well, I'll be dead by all this time anyhow. But I mean, it's still, you know.
Well, that's why I look at it. 25 years. If I can walk in here and renegotiate my lease for 25 years?
Yes, of course, that's not the point, really, because the biggest point is somebody building a larger building, they're not going to do it.
Do we have a recommendation that this
will
be passed
on? One of the things we'll just met,
go ahead.
Jeff just said something, and I think Jim and I talked about this before. You know, this is a lease for the standard box hangers. If somebody wants to come in and build a 100,000 square foot facility, this doesn't have to be the lease.
You may want to give them
a different lease with different terms and conditions.
Just like the T-hangers.
So
don't take that to be a...
Jeff, if you look at section 11.1,
mm-hmm.
this talks about assignment. It's really looks like it's pretty open where, as Ralph says, you sell it, you can ask for a new lease. However, if you want to keep the existing lease, because you like the terms, 11.1 allows that. So I think a new owner has the flexibility to do either or, whatever makes sense for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think you feel...
If there's some language in there that follows that,
But they might not really, Jeff, want to do an assignment because it might actually cut their time.
Yeah.
Well, in theory,
if the city's willing to do a new lease,
well,
and change the terms.
You require it because you're saying you cannot sublease, period.
Okay.
But reassignment is different.
What's the issue with subleasing? I mean, why couldn't I? Is it a liability?
Responsibility,
thing,
I guess.
Why couldn't I sublease to somebody else?
I think that provision came in there through our attorneys, didn't it? Because we used to have a subleasing provision in our old
That was one of the things we argued about on the original draft.
It's transferability of...
VC shall not assign this lease or any interest in or sublease the lease premises. And then we put in without written consent of lease or as a condition of any consistent...
Okay, so it's in there. You just have to get permission.
Right.
Oh, so that's okay. Right. I can rent my hangar to you, but I just have to tell the city, get them to agree.
Right.
Which nobody does, but they should. Your biggest risk in this lease, probably financially, is paragraph 5.1.
Could be. I don't like 12.3 either.
Which is it? 12.3? Did you say?
Yeah, I don't. Okay, well, I had that marked too, Ralph.
Taxi lane.
An annual maintenance fee may be added in the basic rent established for the hangar lease sites in the airport according to the provisions of. Why should I pay to maintain city property?
Well, the good news is if you read the last sentence in that, they have to prorate it across the whole airport.
Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I pay taxes. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, and that's the liability.
That's a good segue into.
You know what? Then I say we rehab everything and divide the cost of it up amongst the tenants.
No, you should rehab it and divide the cost up amongst every citizen of the city of Newport, not just the hangar owners.
Well, there's two ways to read the last sentence in that paragraph. It says it has to be divided equally amongst all the property users, including the city. Mm-hmm. And my argument there would be, oh, the city uses the whole thing, so my little piece of it's about 0.1%. Or are you saying the city buildings, which of course then would make my share a whole lot bigger? Now that's something that could end up, you know, in court someday, I suppose, if somebody wanted to go down that road. But my argument would be my little piece of it's so small that I don't really worry about that. But
well, that's not true. If we have to build a whole new FBO, or all new taxiways, or what else?
Well, I read this taxi lane. I'm thinking maybe it's the apron from your door to the taxiway. That's what I'm reading.
But that isn't what it says.
Well, remember, right now, when you lease the hangars at this airport, you're only leasing the concrete pad the building sits on. Right. So that blacktop that runs right up to my door is the city's responsibility.
But Ralph, mm-hmm. That's not what 12.3 says.
Well, but I don't lease it, so I don't care.
That's my point. But if you sign it, and it's a legal contract, you do care.
But there's obviously a discrepancy. No. Everybody talks about the subject, right? Everybody has a different perspective on it, so it says, it shows that this thing is not okay.
It's not okay.
No, it's not.
There are certain parts of it are not okay.
It's interpretation, and so it cannot be okay because it needs to be more precise, right? If you have an understanding, he has an understanding, he has an understanding, then obviously there's...
What's a taxi lane?
Well, keep them, just...
Is there
for the sake
of
explanation.
Yes.
There's
taxi lanes and taxiways.
Unfortunately, they give you one lease for a constructed building or one to be constructed.
I'm going to make sure.
And what if you build a hangar, say out in the far, southeast corner of the airport out there, mm-hmm. and you had to make a half mile long taxiway, it would normally be. Your obligation to build.
Which makes sense.
Now, what they should have done, which we talked about with the original draft, was that should also be turned over to the airport. There should be another sentence in there that says, shall be become the. Because you don't want a private party maintaining stuff on your airport. And that was brought up before, but it didn't end up in there.
Did you say you found a definition of taxi lane?
Oh, I can tell you what it is. It's not in here.
Taxi
lane is any fixture or any lane that you drive your airplane on to get to a taxiway. So it's anything that is off the movement area is a taxi lane. Anything that is on the movement area is a taxiway.
Gentlemen, what do you want to do with the document?
Like your driveway versus the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think it's that particular item is as large of an issue as... I mean, there's other issue personally, but yeah.
is too open-ended. It's just, it needs to be, that's fine. It just is too open-ended.
What part of it are you talking about?
Well, primarily, my biggest concern on the open-endedness of the language is 5.1. That scares me to death. And it's,
how much would I have to pay for this? Now, I'm interested in the box hanger, right? How much is it?
We don't know.
It depends.
It's not possible. I buy something and I don't know
how big
much
it
is.
How big is it? And it's 22 cents per square feet. Per
okay, year. It's all included there.
Everything is
no,
in that 22.
I'm talking about the
what I'm saying is,
that's
if
just
I'm
a possibility in the future. No idea.
They're
would you,
not amazing.
Would you want to buy? Would you want to sign a lease not knowing? I said, well, wait a minute. It could be $20,000 a year. How do I know? It's not in here. Well, I don't know either. I'm sorry.
I lost.
Since I've been here, there's never been a maintenance fee, although it has been in some of the leases.
You want to sell the hangar?
Well, if it's your hangar, it's just, if it's your hangar and you need to maintain it.
This is not talking about the maintenance of my hangar.
It's about the taxiways.
Oh.
Could include a share,
an annual
share
reference
cost for utility.
An annual maintenance
repair.
Fee may be added to the basic rent established for the hangar lease sites at the airport in accordance with a procedure adopted by the city of New. What does that mean? Of course I'm going to maintain my hangar. It's my responsibility to maintain my hangar, not the city.
So what is this procedure adopted by the city council? That would be nice to see.
But also says the procedure for adjustment may include.
That's what you're arguing about.
May include a share.
Right. So I'm paying for the utilities at the airport.
Utilities, repairs, maintenance. So if you do your roof,
thank you.
He has to pay, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, that is, you're right, Mark. That means
potentially yes.
No, I'm signing a lease, Ralph. Yeah. I don't know.
I understand. I agree with you. I say that's the biggest liability in this document.
Plus the labor.
Well. What was the basic intent here? Did the lawyer just throw it in, or is
it was well? It would. This provision was in some of our previous.
Would
box
it be based on if, for instance, if the city ever did have to get a hangar property, if we ever became in control of the hangar property, right, a way to recoup the cost from the person who. Gave it up if it was in disrepair. Is that what this is talking about?
No.
That's what it says.
I don't think so.
No, this is for current box owner or box hanger leasors.
Well, personally, I think Peggy is correct. It probably just can't. It's a carryover.
Carryover. From
it
something.
Came from the old box hanger.
So you actually
not
signed it on
them,
the last one.
Mark.
So
I
I don't think
I think you probably ought to split
well,
it out.
They were all different. A lot of them were different, but
yeah, we don't have one now.
Well,
and I'm wondering
respect,
if we
this is not a carryover from the old lease.
Yeah.
It was definitely in some of the old leases. It wasn't in all of them. I promise you that because there were several iterations of that lease.
Well, if I ever have to sell the hangar, or anybody does, and if I'm a potential, I want to bring my business and bring my family and bring my airplane to Newport, and I read this, I would say, what do you mean I have to pay for the labor of maintenance?
Well, let's look at it a different way here. How important is it for the city to have it in there? Or
how about this?
I'll
talk with the city attorney and try to figure out if this is just because it was in some of our prior box hanger leases and if there's any necessity for it to be in there. And also I'll be checking with my boss. And I'll bring that information back to you at the next meeting.
Well, I would like to see it in an old lease.
Well, I don't even care if it's an old lease or not. I don't see any real need for it personally, other than
the CPI. It's a given.
Yeah.
CPI.
That's a given.
Why don't you guys, as a committee, write up your concerns and get them to Peggy so she has a document to work with?
That would
so
be
Jim
really
and Peggy
nice.
Can go to the attorney and then get back to you.
What other one do you have besides 5.1?
But well, why don't you write that stuff all down and submit them as comments?
I thought we already did that, Rob.
But I have a question.
There was something written, but I don't think I got custody of that.
The town of Newport is interested, of course, to give the cost to get the fraction of the cost being carried by the box hanger owners, right?
If that's their goal, then that's what it says.
Hang on, this is obviously what it says, right?
Right.
But the question is, if there's really a necessity to do so for the town of Newport. I mean, up to now, you have never used this? Mm-hmm. And in the future, I mean, we're talking about peanuts here, right? This is just not big stuff.
No, it's big stuff. It could be.
It could be big stuff, but what I understood, it's just mainly concerning the taxi subways there, right?
Not like it's written.
But so it must be precisely kind of fixed. It's not, like this is not,
Thomas,
not acceptable.
With all due respect, you don't even have to know anything about airplanes or airports to read the cost of construction of a new taxi lane shall be the obligation of the leasing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's
the question is, what's
you're
the interest of the town of Newport?
Right.
It's let the town of Newport determine what the town of Newport wants in this place. What
I think what you're asking is, who came up with this?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
That issue is, what do you guys recommend?
Could you do what Ralph said, because it would be very helpful to staff if you could write your concerns down regarding this lease, so that Jim and I and Lance and Terry can take a look at them and make sure that we can try to address them and address all your concerns at the next meeting, so we can come up with a lease. Because frankly, almost all the box hanger leases are expired.
Okay. Yep. Well, Mark, I look at 12.3 as reasonable, personally.
Totally.
Then what I would like to see is what a definition of a taxiway is.
FAA's got a definition, I'm sure.
But it's not.
Definition's good.
Well, we don't have any definition in here.
Are you in agreement with what Peggy has recommended?
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's cool.
And at the next meeting, you will go through this, make your notes.
Would it be good if I could get the notes within the next
two weeks so that we can
deal with your suggestions and then come back with some responses at the next meeting?
Why don't you get a single input from the committee? Why don't you communicate?
It would be.
Do it through email.
That's what the committee should do.
I agree. How are we going to make it happen?
Somebody writes it down on the wall and everybody's...
Well, would it be acceptable to have the definition of taxiway and taxi lane as a definition, then leave 12.3 as it is and strike 5.1?
That's fine, but there's...
Is that acceptable?
But I'm paying lease for 1,710 square feet.
Okay.
So it's clearly established in this lease. Now you go over here to 12.3.
Yeah.
This is, well, I'm also paying for taxi lane.
Yeah. Well, no, if you were going to build one, you would have to pay for it.
Yeah.
If you have one, you don't have to construct it.
I think that the definition of a taxi lane...
Mm-hmm. It'll get you to the taxiway.
Gets me to the taxiway.
That's
what's a taxiway? Is that the road to the hangars, or is it road clear out to 1634?
No, taxiways are designated on the airport facility directory, each one of them. Taxiway Alpha, Taxiway Echo. The road that runs into your box hangars is not a designated taxiway Echo or taxiway Alpha. So those are taxi lanes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I think the definition.
So adding the definition would help.
Yeah. What Doug said is add a definition of taxiway and taxi lane, mm-hmm. two definitions. Leave 12.3 in once we get those two terms defined, and strike 5.1.
Correct.
That sounds like
that
something we can check out and then bring back to the next meeting.
And I think, that should be specified that is for
a new construction.
Mm-hmm. A new construction.
That's what it says right there.
Right.
If you do, I mean, I would ask that if you do have another issue with the lease, what after you leave here, if you think of something, just send me an email. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It has to be 50 words or less.
if you have to catch your breath while you're saying it, it's too long.
Thank you, because we've been struggling with that, and we do want to get it. We do want something that's workable for everybody, but we do want there to be leases.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work that's been put into this also.
Boy,
and
Peggy,
it'll be nice to have one document that everybody shares.
For the record, because the committee is made up of box hanger owners who will be signing this, so there could be a, quote, potential conflict of interest, just for the record, just so that, you know, that the committee members, some of them are owners and are adjusting the agreement that they're expected to sign. Not that it's a problem, but I think it's just safe to go on record. So in case somebody were to ask that question,
right,
that it was brought out at the meeting, it's in the minutes that there are.
So when we bring it up at the next meeting, probably Mark and Jeff, you would need to declare that you are boxing around.
Ralph.
I'm not.
Well,
on
Ralph's not on the committee.
He's just sitting.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
You're the liaison.
Killing the
afternoon. Yeah, right.
And then, but the two of you don't need to worry because they have tea hangers.
We're just pure renters.
Yeah, we're tea hanger owners, and I just want to explain here, we're renters, that I was looking into box hangers because I like the neighborhood. but this is something, now I'm looking at this first time, I would be feeling very uncomfortable with.
Okay.
Anything okay. more than what we talked about, the definitions and removing...
5.1. Just what 5.1.
Well, we're going to take that out, yeah, as long as that's with our city.
So for me, it's not a conflict of interest. That's what I wanted to point out.
But we might have a hanger out there for you.
I know, several.
Yeah, right.
The dead guy, yeah. Right? Lance?
Well,
time
for an auction.
When we called that company and we were talking, it could have been him that answered the phone under a different name.
It could
maybe
have been.
Maybe he owes the wrong people the wrong type of money.
Lance, is there a point in time where you go to Jim and say, Jim, we got to start the foreclosure proceedings on this guy because we got to move forward?
Yeah. We will be looking for direction on that pretty soon because he hasn't paid his hanger rent in a long time, and we can't communicate with them at all. So we need to check with our city attorney,
there
I suppose,
has to be some
right
default.
See how to move forward.
Right.
That's right. Then the city will take it over, and then instead of selling it, let's just lease it out at $300 a month to somebody.
It's a box hanger, right?
Yeah. Well, it's almost
right. Rent.
And I will tell you, Mr. Chairman, and Jim as well, brings up a good point that we have specified interest in this. But my personal interest supersedes that of the development and the health of our airport by a long shot. Mm-hmm. I just want a fair document that if I end up trying to sell this thing, it doesn't get hung up. I just want to be fair and equal to both
no,
sides.
And I totally believe you. We just want to make sure that you, Jeff, and you, Mark, make note of that at the next meeting, that
absolutely,
you are box hanger owners and that you could have a potential conflict of interest voting on
right
a lease. That
or just make a recommendation, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like final.
But it's just better as
no,
saying.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
yeah.
All right, we have our marching order.
Kay.
Thank you.
Next is the financial report, as asked by Mark.
And I haven't seen one forever.
Here, this is hot off the press.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't make it
work.
I couldn't print it. I had to get help from the finance department.
Oh, I'm very familiar with this document.
You've seen it before.
I call it budget wrangling season.
Budget wrangling season.
Well,
I have some numbers.
The reason that I requested this, number one, I haven't seen it for a long time, it indicates the general health of the city as well as the airport. And that we could just take it home, kind of go over it, maybe at the next meeting, just go through it really quickly to see how things are going.
That's all.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, Peggy.
And what we'll try to do is we'll try to get you one every month.
No, I don't think
you're
going to.
No.
You don't want it every month?
No.
They said no, don't argue with them.
Yeah. Is everybody in agreement to take a look at this and come back next time?
Which one are we referring to?
The budget.
Yes, the budget.
Yes.
You know,
I'm agreeing.
I don't want to interrupt, but there was one other issue, and it was on the first page of the agenda, right under the lease template, and it does pertain to leases, and it came as a recommendation from one of the box hanger lessees, Ron Turhar, who lives in Albany and has hangars at the Albany Airport. He said, and I don't know if we could do this, but I thought we'll bring it to the committee like I promised him we would. He wondered whether the city would be willing to offer a discount to hangar lessees who pay a year at a time. Hmm. Now, what they do in Albany is a 5% discount if you pay a year. And boxhangers, that's
well,
not
I would,
a
I'd have to defer to David Marshall what their expenses are in billing monthly, and if he thinks he can save money, then maybe, but otherwise, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
idea, probably.
Well, one thing you could do is just go to a 6-month or 1-year billing anyway.
I would just go to 1-year billing.
Most of those leases are $350 a year, you know. It's $35 or $32 a month or something. Mm.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah. I would be willing to make a recommendation right now that all the billings, I thought they were on an annual basis, but apparently they're not.
They're monthly.
I think we should just go to the finance department and just bill once a year.
For the box hangers.
Well, I don't think you should do that.
Jeff, they're $450.
I know, but still, I think I'd rather not tell the finance department what to do. I'd rather get the recommendation first.
Well, we would.
I don't know what you need to do, but there's no reason to bill $35 a month. It's costing the city more to bill every month. I mean,
absolutely. And you know, you all know that we have had some struggles with that.
Well, that hasn't worked very well.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this is only in regard to box hangers, and what we would do if this is this committee's recommendation, it would go to the city manager, and then he could take it to David, and if David didn't think it was a good idea, we'll bring it back to you next time.
Well, the other thing that David can do now that he wasn't able to was to be able to automatically deduct, right? Now he can do bill paid monthly.
You mean right out of your checking account?
Yeah, I think so, because your water department bill can do
it. We do have at least one hangar lessee who does it that way.
And then that doesn't cost city any money
Is that a motion?
Okay, make the motion.
I would like to move that we pass along to Jim Voper that he takes the necessary steps to just bill the box hangar owners on an annual basis.
Do I hear a second?
Oh, thanks, guys.
Sure, I'll second it.
You're going to second it? Okay, it's been...
I can't second it, so...
It's been moving second.
That makes sense.
That the city manager regards...
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Coming back to this lease, we're talking about the box hangers. What do we do for the T-hangers?
We still have monthly, because I don't want
to... Yeah, but, I mean, well, would you be prepared to pay half a year and get a discount?
We weren't even at the discount point. We were just talking
about I'm interested in discount.
I mean, I hate getting discounts because we don't even collect money to do the maintenance on the buildings, to be honest with you. So,
well,
these are not moneymaker deals.
One thing that we might be able to do for T-hanger lessees is if we're not going to be able to offer a discount, one thing that we might be able to do is to get everybody set up on auto pay so that, you know, you have $180 deducted from your checking account or whatever account monthly, and then we wouldn't have to be billing. And I know we can do that because we just did it.
Yeah.
For Irene Cochran as a T-hanger.
I would use that, but I wouldn't want to pay multiple months
again, like I just had to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
there was nothing in the motion regards to discount.
No.
Not with the box hangers.
Okay, we have a
annually.
We have a motion.
He made a motion.
Yes, I did.
You made a motion. You seconded
it.
Yes. All approved.
Yeah, all in favor say aye.
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 It's two. All opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be so like a nay, wouldn't it?
2-1.
The box hangers.
To
build the box hangers is just
annually.
It'll be going to Jim.
Who voted no besides Jeff? Just Jeff.
And one abstain, apparently.
Yeah, almost
yes, I don't. Yeah, it makes good sense to me.
Okay.
For $350.
Got it.
Okay. Any other member comments?
Yeah, I have a comment. Just so you know, there's probably about, I'm not sure the exact number, but probably 6 box hangers are going to get new roofs starting probably within a month.
Good. Probably within a week. Several of them, they came to me and just basically said, be advised, we'll have some construction going on. So several of the box hangers are going to be getting a new roof here within the next 30 days. So,
weather dependent.
And I've heard from a lot of hangar owners who are going to make the repairs on their hangars because Lance took the photos and we mailed the photos to the box hangers.
Yeah, I talked to one box hanger owner and their business is seasonal, so he will be making repairs as soon as the money starts rolling in. And another person was aware of it also. Another different person. they're out of the area, so they are going to be making repairs. So I guess it's taken effect.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you had suggested, you know, back several months ago that we, and so I know Lance has been in the work, and we've all been trying to.
It's in the lease, man.
You know,
it's in the lease.
Well, and one thing we did was we gave everybody until December 31st to make the repair so that they would have a good construction season, mm-hmm. but also told them in the letters that if this was a burden, then to let us know, and we would, I mean, we're not going to torture anyone into doing that.
No, I think everybody seems to be doing something.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Any other comments?
I would like to make a suggestion. You know, Saturdays are really pretty special down at the airport.
Okay.
Especially last Saturday.
Right.
I don't know, what did we have, 20, 25, 30 planes flying everywhere. It was cool.
Yeah. And lots of people.
I know it might not sound, but anyway, one of the reasons that I believe that it's working so well is, you know, is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering how you guys would feel just on Saturdays only if we offered our guests self-serve fuel prices from the truck. Only on Saturdays. To try to get the word, again, just the word, they're going to go home, tell their buddies, you got to get to this Newport place on Saturday, man. We get 6:15, they come fuel our truck. It's just unbelievable. Right. And it's just something that...
I like that idea.
It's just something that I'd like to throw out and see if how you guys feel.
I'm not against it at all.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to be the budget guy here, we don't make very much money on our fuel. I mean, we're...
There's three guys out there on a Saturday, Jim.
Yeah,
for the most part. Mm-hmm. We've got the manpower, and I know there's not a big profit margin, but it'll only be Saturdays only. And being in retail, sometimes you got to bite the bullet just a little bit to start, because that's all we have is fuel.
Well, here's the other option I see if I were flying. Well, a lot of times the guys will come to the airport and they'll say, you know, I could probably make it back without fueling up here if I have to go refuel it and pull the hose out. But, you know, since the guy came out, he's really nice, I'll buy 10 gallons. You know, I'd put a limit on 10 gallons, or I don't want you guys to pump up 2-3 gallons out there, but something that
we're not talking about jets. We're talking about Cessnas and RVs. Yeah.
That way you get the guy that most of the time they feel more obligated if you'll do it for the same price itself. Sure, you'll sell more gas, I think, than you would.
Well, you could also have a 20-cent discount. You could isolate the window, say it's between 11 and 1 or 11 and 2 or something.
I would just want to see everybody that comes here on Saturday with their plane to buy fuel, one way or another.
Well, up until the point when the truck's available,
Well, we got the trucks, we got the manpower.
Until 4 o'clock, you know.
Everybody's trained. I got a good summer staff is here, and so it's up to you guys.
And it's, I understand, Jim, it's not meant to bust the bank. It's just one more thing to fuel the fire to get airplanes down here and get those same people back, you know, this summer for a week, you know, to hang out in Newport.
Well, don't make it a fixed deal. Maybe test days for you, you know, that summer.
And it would have to be
trial period.
It had to be, you know, suggestive serving from you guys. Hey, here's our special deal out on Saturdays. You guys need 15, 20 gallons. It's the same price as self serve. It's just something to throw around. Lance is thinking.
I was thinking
we can look into it.
I would like to really. I'd like to talk about it before we just adopt it. Honestly, Mark, I think it's.
Well, we got some time. Weather's getting still better, so you're okay. Think about it until next
merits,
time.
I'd like to really sit down and look at the staff and see what's going to happen.
How about maybe look and see how much gas you really do self serve on Saturday.
Well, what if you? The
full serve.
And it was 30 cents a gallon for anybody on Saturday from the truck.
I don't know.
That drops it below 6 a gallon, so it appears, you know, there's that.
Well, I brought this sheet out for you guys all for a reason, and I get talked to about fuel prices all the time, and I want everybody to know that Newport is, we're not high, we're not low, we're trying to stay, we take our fuel costs, we add a little bit of profit onto it, and I mean, that is it.
And that's self-serve, right?
Yes. So... just, you know, keep in mind that's where our prices are. I think we ought to just look at it.
I just want me. I just want those planes to come in to buy fuel before you leave.
I agree.
Okay. Anything else?
And so for the Northwest, it's 6:14.
Thank you, Peggy.
One question. Quick. This summer, there's a lot of flying going on because the weather's good and so on. What is the big party that's going on in Newport at Newport Airport that makes me go there?
What's the big party?
I go to Arlington because they have this old aircraft and things like that. Mm-hmm. I go to wherever. There's lots of places. The question is...
tell folks, open your door. Open the airplane door. What do you hear?
It's more you
talking
now, I'm talking about...
Yeah. He wants to have an event.
What do we want? Do we want to do something?
Something that special? Would be up to the airport committee.
Yeah.
That's why I put it on the
table. You're welcome.
I'm going to take that vote.
No problem. We talked about it before.
I appreciate you putting that vote. Of course not. Everybody puts that thing. Okay, we talk about it.
Yeah, because they want us.
Can we put that on the agenda next time?
Yeah.
Like special events or...
Special events.
Yeah.
Fly an event.
Yeah. What other agenda item we need to talk about next time?
Well, I will put the fuel discount question on because staff's going to be looking at that.
Yeah.
And we'll bring back an update on what the city attorney says about the hangar leases.
All right.
And then we'll also have the grant update, and then Lance and Terry will talk about the FBO and airport operations.
Okay.
And anything else? Maybe we'll have an update on that one hangar. We can figure out what we have to do.
Yeah,
with
I don't know if it's a policy decision or not, but yeah, it.
Just to let you know, yeah, just as an informational item.
We're trying to get some teeth so that we can have some authority.
Oh, I think
there.
You mentioned something about minimum. You'll have some.
Oh, minimum standards.
We've got a very nice presentation for you guys, but we want to make sure.
Keep it minimum.
Yeah, it is very minimum. It's like 11 slides. It's very quick.
And then the other thing that consider in the future meetings, perhaps, is what do you. We've got land out front of this area. What can we do with that land?
Boy, big time. That is one of the things that I found, and I've got some more meetings next week up in Salem, but, you know, getting out of the office and going to the airport, looking at their business parks and things, I think it's been a good thing for me to do because, you know, I was a commercial pilot, and I'm learning this thing from the business management end, and so I really needed to get out there and just meet some of the people.
The next one, besides probably more importantly than maybe Salem, would be Aurora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's further north. I was at a supervisor fuel class up there, so I've become familiar with it, and they're really good folks up
there.
They
have business all around that airport.
Well, yeah. They've got avionics businesses.
Everything. So we'll find out. And obviously, they're a better location than we are, but I'm glad to see what's working there.
Yeah, and there's an airport Department of Aviation meeting next month. I think Lance and I, we attended the one last month. We're trying to go to these things, even though we basically, it's a meet and greet. Kind of like Mark said, we shake in hands, getting to know the people from the Department of Aviation. That way we are up, you know, our names are familiar with people. And so I just think it's important that we keep shaking hands and getting up to Salem, meeting all of our constituents, meeting the people that are the players, the people that
the players.
The money folks, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we are trying to stay
active. Thank you, everyone.
And then how
stopping
are we doing
the
this year? You guys have been pretty good with us.
Here you go.
Cards.